Well, Carl and Mandy are quite the individuals, and Carl is a lot of fun. If I can just tell you one thing about Carl, it would be that he and I went with a couple other guys, went to play tennis here in town, and I'd never played tennis before with Carl, and we showed up at the courts at about, 8:30 or 9, and you guys, how many tennis players here, ever played tennis? How about that? Have you ever played tennis? Have you ever thought about playing tennis? Okay. Basically, have you ever seen a tennis racket? So, because, I showed up, I've got my tennis racket, I played in high school and all this kind of stuff, and I heard Carl played in high school as well and was quite good, and I meet Carl there, and Carl has a Jimmy McEnroe wooden tennis racket with a head on it about that big, and I'm going, this dude is a purist of tennis. He is hardcore, and I'm like, hey, Carl, the sweet spot on that thing is about the size of a pin, and he's like, it's just how I roll, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to get slaughtered. And so we get all the way out on the tennis court, and he pulls out his other racket, and I'm like, you're dumb. Anyway, so, and yeah, so Carl and Mandy are so much fun. So Carl, tell us, Mandy, tell us a little bit about yourself. There's a microphone right over to your side, too. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll jump into your story, where you're going on the mission field after this, okay. After that.
I grew up in Springfield, and I attended a little church called King's Chapel. I know it's way off Cherry Street, but I went to Evangel University and Hillcrest High School. And I started teaching, and I taught in Bolivar for 5 years, and I taught like math and reading, and another year I taught math and social studies, and then math and science, and then I went to a different grade. And
where do you teach again? I'm sorry.
Right now?
Yeah.
At York Elementary School in Springfield. Okay. And I teach a 4-5 split, so that's a good time, let me tell you. and she'll tell you about our kids and stuff.
Okay. I'm Mandy, and I grew up in Marshfield and went to Evangel. yes, like Lindsay Ray. And I was an early childhood and elementary major and taught for 4 years, been staying home for 4 years, went back to work this week teaching preschoolers. Fun. And our son, Porter, is 2, and our daughter, Miley, is 4.
So cute, too, both those kids.
Yes. Thank you.
And you, Carl.
Okay. I was hoping you were
Well, obviously, you guys are up here to tell about this amazing thing that has happened in your heart. And so why don't you tell us about the whole process that you've, all your major, and obviously this call to the mission field has not necessarily always been the path you thought you were going to be going on, but it's something changed. And so take us through that journey.
Okay. Mandy made me make bullets so that during this part I don't get off task, because I have a tendency to do so. And
are you a rambler?
Yeah, I'm a rambler. And she's probably going to hit me or something.
That's
anyways.
Okay.
Just a second.
How many people love ramblers? See? There are half a dozen people in here that like
you.
That.
Sweet. Okay. So, obviously, that's enough back there.
Yes.
How do you expect me to do this if you're laughing? Okay. Like Mike said, being a missionary is not, was not on my list of jobs or things that I wanted to do when I was in high school. But I did feel kind of called and had a real passion to teach. And so obviously I went into that, and so did Mandy. And so from there, I would say that the first inkling that I felt called to what we're doing now is that when I was 19, I had a dream in which I walked into a house, and there was this little girl ran up to me, and I gave her a great big hug, and as I was kneeling down and hugging her, I looked past her, and there was this stairway, and it was just filled with children, and there was a young lady who was pregnant standing next to her. or not her, but next to the stairs. And then I just kind of woke up and I thought, wow, that is a weird dream to have at 19 years old. Like, what in the world does that mean? But it was like really vivid. So I told my friend, you know, my friend over here, Mandy, that's what she told me I could call her, was her friend. And so I told her about the dream and she's like, oh, that's so nice. And I feel really, I have a real burden and a passion for, you know, neglected children and children who don't have parents, so like, you know, orphans, things like that. And I was kind of on the same track. And so, goodness, I'm so bad at this stuff. No. I don't want to tell that part. I told you she'd do it, see? Sorry, I lost my... I should have started from the beginning. Okay, so later she would ask me to marry her. Yeah, that's where it's going. And I said yes. And then, you know, we were married.
Did I ask you to tell the story from birth or something?
Yeah, just, basically, sorry.
Just kidding.
I had to put that part in there. So
you're like, once upon a time.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So we'll move through this quickly now. So at that point, we just kept teaching. We tried to get, we applied for a couple, well, didn't apply, but we looked into some children's homes in the United States, and nothing really came of it. So we just kept teaching, and I can remember just being really not comfortable teaching, or just kind of like frustrated with it, and sitting with my principal at his house with another teacher, sitting there talking and discussing this with them and saying, you know, I'm kind of fed up with this. I don't really, it just doesn't make me feel complete, or I don't know what's going on, but I feel really discontent. That's the word. And they said, well, what would you do? And I said, well, I would be, I think I would just be a teacher at like a children's home, and I would just, you know, have kids live with me and have like a children's home and just be their teacher and just, you know, that's it. And they're like, well, just go do it. And I'm like, how do you do that? I mean, really, you just start picking kids up and bringing them home with you? I mean, what do you do? So anyways, we just kept doing that. And then something, we just kept teaching and just living life, and things went on, and that kind of just went on the back burner, and we just kept on moving on with life. And right. And then in 2006, something kind of weird happened, and one of my friends from high school and that I went to church with, she called me, and she's like, hey, Carl. I'm like, hey, long, haven't heard from you in like 5 years. And she's like, yeah, I was wondering if you could be, I work for like AGWM, you know, that's Assemblies of God World Missions, and I make videos and like take pictures of stuff, and we're doing this like documentary. It's like this musical video. And it's about this guy, and he used to be a drug dealer, so I was wondering if maybe you could play him when he was younger, like the drug dealer, because we don't have any pictures that will work, because you kind of look like him. And I said, okay, so like, yeah, whatever. So I'm like, well, I don't know, you know, I'm not good at talking in front of people or, you know, talking in general, so... I'm like, do I have to talk? And she's like, no, you don't have to talk, you just kind of like... move around and stuff and act. And I'm like, great. So I said, sure. So I did it, and it took 10 hours, and I'm in the video for 1.5 minutes. It was a great deal. I mean, obviously, I'm not a good actor either. So so I asked about her. Not about her. I asked about this guy that I'm playing. This drug dealer gets saved, becomes a missionary. And then I find out what he does, and he has a children's home in Jamaica. And like when she told me that he had a children's home in Jamaica, I was just like, wow, that's crazy. I've always wanted to work at a children's home. So, you know, I got home right afterwards. I Googled them, and I looked at their webpage. And then, you know, what do we need? We need prayer for all these things, pray for the kids. And then it went down this list of we need teachers. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. And then we need, you know, for like middle school kids, and we need somebody that will teach the boys how to, you know, do some carpentry skills and just some basic skills so that they have skills when they, you know, like nunchuck skills. Sorry, that was just, I couldn't, my brain just went there and I couldn't get it off of it. Okay, so, right, so we're like, wow, this is awesome. This is like the Lord. He's like, we can go there in the summers or something, you know, because we're teachers and we have the summer off, and we'll just go there and like minister in the summer and help out. And So I Googled, you know, I emailed him, and there was no response for a long time. So I was just like, whatever. This must just not be what the Lord wants. And so that gave me a lot of time to think about me being like a missionary, like even if it's just for the summer or whatever. And I started thinking, and really when I thought about the summer, I really thought, oh, maybe this is more than just the summer. But I kind of just was like doubting the whole thing. And then I started thinking about it, and I started thinking about, I really don't think, I mean, I'm just a teacher. I'm not a missionary. Like, I didn't go to Bible school, and I'm pretty sure I'm not gifted. Wait, no, not that I'm not gifted, but like I'm not good enough to be a missionary. You know, I got problems and, you know, things like that. And I don't know, this God, you must be making a mistake. And I really kind of just, I kind of started to stop reading the word because I was convicted. Like, I didn't want to be a missionary because I was, like, scared out of my mind. And I was afraid that he would actually call me to be a missionary. You know, the summer thing, that was kind of a fun thing, hey, but then when I started thinking about it, I don't really want to be called to be a missionary, so that's not like a part of my plan. I mean, even though I have a burden and a passion to work with orphans and children who are neglected and abused, but not in Jamaica, you know what I'm saying? So anyways, goodness, I'm a rambler.
Good.
Okay. As long as you think so. You know, so for about 6, 7, 8 months, I just kept on running. Thank you for the visual. Do you want to do that again? Yeah, running. I ran from this, you know, I stopped talking to God about it, just kind of stopped talking to God altogether. And the funny thing was is that God kind of just, you know, he kept reminding me through weird things like, I read my daughter Bible stories every night from these read aloud Bible stories, and there's two that she requested repeatedly. She always got two, and she would request Jonah and the Whale. Oh, I'm serious, man. Every night for like 2 months straight. And the other one was, they go together, because the other one was The Boy Who Ran Away, which is the prodigal son. So, I mean, there were times I said, sorry, we're not reading those. And there would, or I'd say, Mandy, go read to the kids because I'm just going to, you know, take this one out.
Wow.
This is about the time we started coming to Central. We lived in Bolivar at the time. And then our kids stopped crying in the car all the time, so we decided to come on a Wednesday night. And this is the first Wednesday night we ever attended, okay? Are you with me? This is key that it was the first Wednesday night. And so I'm sitting up here, oh, can I back up just a second? There's an important thing here. Okay, thank you. A week prior to this first week that we came here, we went to eat dinner on a Wednesday night with our friends who just had a baby. Mm-hmm. And beware, all of you who have friends that are psychologists. Just be careful. So I'm there, and I don't know, he gets me to start talking about how I'm, you know, discontent with my job. And he's like, well, you know, and he's talking real truth to me about how it's not money and hasn't God always provided for you and all these other things. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he says, well, just what would you do if you could just do anything? So I just went down the list. I'm like, well, I could teach overseas for the military, and I could just move and do something different, or maybe just go back to school or something like that. And then Mandy has to open her mouth, which is okay. It was good. It's from the Lord. It was good. She's like, well, tell him about the missionary stuff. And I just look at her, and I'm like, I can picture it in my head. I'm just looking at her like, no. I says, sounds to me like you have a lot of cognitive dissonance, which means that I'm mixed up in the head, obviously, or something. And so, you know, it just means I'm not doing what I think I should be doing or something like that. Ask one of your friends who's a psychologist. And so I'm like, okay. And he's like, I said, I just wish God would tell me what to do, because I'd just do it. And he goes, let me tell you, Carl, people come into my office and tell me that all the time. Truth is, most of the time, after a while, they realize that God was telling them what to do the whole time. They just didn't want to do it. Mm. And I go, oh, yeah, well, whatever, you know. So anyway, we decided to go pick up his kids. And from wherever they were, I don't remember. I think they were at church. So we picked up his kids. We went into his garage. And in his garage, I walk out before he does, and he went to a secular school, so he was a part of a fraternity, and every year they had this huge party, and it was a Rastafarian party. And if you don't know what Rasta is, it's a Jamaican religion, okay? And he had this banner that was the size of a bed sheet with spray paint all over it, and it was in Rasta colors. And it said Rastafarian 97 or something like that. And I just walked in. I'm like, oh, that's... I didn't tell him where it was, that it was in Jamaica or anything. I just looked at it and said, oh, great, yeah. And we got in. And then the next Wednesday, we came here. And we're sitting here, and I don't know where I was sitting, probably over there or something. And Earl Krebs, how many of you know Earl Krebs? You heard of that guy? Okay. He came up, and you guys made some funny video, right, about mm-hmm. Earl, and about his obsession with coffee.
Right.
And so they're doing this thing, and he's introducing them, and they come up, and this guy from over here, he just runs up onto the stage and says, here, and he gives Mike this bag. It looks a lot like this. Okay. And he says, hey, here's some coffee from Jamaica. And Mike's like, oh, it's gold, and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, oh. Now, you might not think that means anything except for just like this bag. This coffee is from the City of Refuge, which is the children's home that Steve Puffpaff is the missionary. Okay, so the children's home has a coffee plantation on it, and they make coffee and package it. And so
in Jamaica.
And they send it to the United States. And so Patrick Murithi, right? Yeah. He ran up and brought that up there. And later I would talk to Patrick, and Patrick said, no, that wasn't really planned. I just felt like God kind of just, you know, he just told me to do it. So I did it. I said, I know why God told you to do that. And if that wasn't enough, you know, I walked over and told Manny, and she's like, oh, just give it up, Carl. God wants you to. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Anyways, I'm reluctant, I guess. I don't know. I got problems. So if that wasn't strange enough, I go to school the next day, and like to hit me with a 2x4, God has to do this. He likes to do this. I don't know what he does, but I walk into school and I have an aide that's in my classroom, and I'm sitting at my desk grading papers while there's this TV program, so the kids are doing something. And my aide looks at me and says, hey, I found this yesterday. I thought it was a penny, but have you ever seen one of these? And she reaches across the table, and it does look like a penny, and she puts this coin in my hand. And it is 10 cents from Jamaica. And she said, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh. I don't know what I was thinking in my head, but it was crazy. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I said, where did you get this? She goes, oh, I just found it in the hall yesterday and just put it in my bag. So at this point, I really just got all freaked out because I'm like, okay, I got to quit denying this, that God wants me to go to Jamaica. Because I don't know about you. I guess you could call these coincidences. But if you think about a coin traveling all that way to meet me on the day after, that the first time I ever came to this church, that Patrick would have the coffee and that Earl Krebs would be here and that they made the video and that I would be sitting here watching this. You know what I'm saying? God knows us. Mm. He sets it all in motion. He loves me enough to show me. He is a personal God, and he is patient. And then for a coin to travel all that way and for my aide to pick it up and to bring it to me. I mean, I don't know how a Jamaican coin gets there, but I'm sure some kid did a project and dropped it or something. But still, that's amazing to me that God would set that up, put that in motion to call me to an orphanage in Jamaica.
Amen.
There's probably more, but I'm gone blank. Well, oh, yeah. So wait, I did email him. And this time he responded, didn't he? Yeah, he did. And the funny thing is, his daughters live in Springfield, and he was going to be here like 3 weeks from then. And then so we met them, and we talked to them, and it was wonderful. And from there, it kind of started the whole process, and I kind of embraced it and said, okay, is there anything else I'm forgetting? Yeah, that's pretty good.
So where are you now in the process of getting there?
Okay, so that was like 2007, so that was like 2 years ago. We actually went to Jamaica in the summer of 2008, went to the children's home to check it out and stuff like that. They said that would be a good idea. We agreed. And so right now we're just kind of raising the funds, and our goal is August, the middle of August of this year. And we have to raise so much money, like, up front, and praise the Lord, that's a lot of money, and it's already, we have it all already. But we just have, like, we have these monthly pledges kind of thing that we still have to kind of work out.
I think probably most of us are interested in what City of Refuge does now, and I know that we have a video tonight, so before we expire on our time here, let's roll that video and give you a few minutes to talk about, about that. So here's the video.
I was blinded by my sin, stained and crumbling from within. I was wandering far from home. I bore the weight of guilt and shame, bound and captured by my chains. I was lost and so still a chapter went untold. Then you came and rescued my soul. Now I'll tell the story of you, heaven's story.
What do you think of when you hear the word Jamaica? If you're like most people, you think of beaches, incredible food, luxurious resorts, lively music, and the wonderful culture of hospitality that marks this island. But there's another side of Jamaica that few tourists ever see.
Baby, I've got news for you. I've got news for you.
The streets, crowded with hungry street children, just scraping along, trying to make it through one more day.
Been through the fire, through the rain, but I
no parents to speak of. Searching for food. The needs of these children have reached epidemic proportions.
You can't imagine that children actually suffer like they do. We hear the stories of how they were sleeping behind a building. We hear the stories of some of the little ones we just received that are malnourished. We hear the story of babies that were abandoned at birth in the hospital.
They're the ones that had become the nameless, faceless.
The story is ugly. The story is hurtful, but it's reality.
And they're the ones that the Lord wants them to come.
So they come to us and the healing process begins. It's not complicated. We just begin to love them. The staff begins to care for them, to hug them, to nurture them. And it doesn't take long that you begin to see these children respond. Then that day comes when they themselves begin to give love back.
I think one of my greatest joys here is to watch the children change as they come.
The only way to describe the children when they come to us is like little broken pots. You can't imagine that little children, 2 and 3 years old, 4, kind of experience the trauma, the hurt, emotional pain that they've already experienced by the time they come to us.
Instead of the City of Refuge being just another children's home where they have to be because their parents have abandoned them, it's become a place that they come because they are special to God, and a place where they can find happiness and peace and love and acceptance.
So here we go. Accept the pain, always forgive.
child that's come to us has not been able to read. Every child that come to us, their education was inconsistent at best. They went to school now and then, or whenever they were at a place to go to school.
I've been here for 9 years now, and I'm 17 years old.
I am now 13 years old, and I was a few months old when I first came to this home. I've been here at New Vision for 3 years now, and I'm 13 years old.
I was 5 years old when I was brought to this home, and now I'm 16.
I was 4 years old when I got here, and now I'm 16.
I am 16 years old, and I'm here for 12 years now.
My plans for the future is to become a contractor, a mason, worker that build houses.
I would like to become a chef or a soldier.
Future, I would love to become a soldier or a journalist or an actress.
I'm studying accounting now, and I would like to further my studies in college and then get a job in the bank.
Hopefully, when I'm older, I'll be a journalist.
Why we're going to be there, the home has about 60 kids in it, and both Mandy and I will be teaching. I'll probably be focusing with working with mainly the older children, and then Mandy will probably be working with the younger ones, considering that's where her degree is. And there's a real need for an early childhood kind of program, like with preschool, because a lot of these kids come in and they're very, they got some social problems, and they just need to be educated. They don't have those experiences that a lot of kids have, but pretty nice looking kids, huh?
Yeah. Great.
I know we need to kind of wrap up here, and thank you for enduring, but Mike wanted me to share with you just some different things that you could maybe pray with us about, and I've been in enough missionary services to know that, you know, I've sat out there and listened to missionaries, and to know that when they ask you to pray, you kind of you pray for them, but and then sometimes, at least for me, they kind of go out of my mind. But I know that sitting here tonight, being the missionary, that it's so vital to encourage them through either words or letters or anything, just through encouraging words, and then also just to keep them in your prayers, because it's tough. And some things that you guys could pray about are, we still have a home for sale that we'd really like to sell before we go to Jamaica, instead of messing with renting it out and things like that. And then also our budget, we're still raising that, and just that in the next 6 months it'll just come, and God will just prompt people's heart, and they will just be faithful to complete what he has burden to give. And
yeah.
I don't know.
And just for preparation for us and our children, you know.
Yeah, and it's hard. It really is. It's like you live two lives. You have this life here, and you have a life where you're, it's like where you're going, and to balance that is, it's really difficult to know, do I spend time getting ready for this, or do I spend time here with these people now, and how to juggle all that, and with your kids and your family and your job and everything. It's just, it's pretty stressful, so I don't know. You can pray for that too.
Hey, can you show your love to Carl and Mandy tonight just by expressing your appreciation? Hey, we proud of you guys. I'm just so proud of them. They have been coming to this church for several years, and I've seen this develop from literally just a God thought into now leaving is right on the horizon. And as I've witnessed their story sort of firsthand, it someone leaving the known for the unknown, and it just makes it reminds me that if unless people like you and those wonderful missionaries, we have so many around here, but unless they're willing to go and to forsake it all, I don't tell a whole lot of people this, but I've never really said anything, but in my own personal devotion, I just think unless there are people like that willing to go, there's something bogus about us saying, deny yourself, take up your cross, and go. You know, there's if unless people like you, and I'm just proud to call you friends and proud of you, and there's something pure about your faith, and we just love you guys both so dearly and are proud of you. And we can't wait till the Wednesday night before you leave to send you off, but we do want to pray for you this evening as well. Would you stretch your hands forward tonight as we pray for them? Thank you, Lord, for Carl and Mandy. We pray your blessing, your blessing into their life. I pray, Lord, for a steadfast faith in their lives as they're continuing to seek you. Lord, you had made it abundantly clear that you have something for them to do in Jamaica. And Lord, as they work with Steve Puff Paff there and City of Refuge and teaching and training these kids, we pray, oh God, you'd pour your favor into them, Lord, and allow them to have effective ministry there. Lord, I also pray for their marriage and Porter and Miley, Lord. We ask you, Lord, you'd keep your hand of protection on them. I pray especially for these beautiful children that you'd allow this transition process to go smoothly. Help them, I pray. And I pray, oh God, that as you have already provided so much for them, you'd continue to do this through the sale of the home, Lord, through continue raising the needed funds, the monthly budget that they have still remaining. Lord, we just pray that in that would come quickly, Lord. We thank you for it. Thank you for the partnership they have. For those of us in here that know Carl and Mandy personally, we pray we'd be an encouragement to them. Those of us who don't, we just pray we'd continue to pray for them every single day. Lord, lift them up. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.